Okay. The Seder. Okay, welcome everybody to Hilchos Shabbos Chag here in Shalavim. For those of you who don't know me, I am Eli Wagner and I will be teaching the Hilchos Shabbos Chag. Amir Hashem, yes, thank you very much. Respect or something. I will be teaching the Hilchos Shabbos Chag Yemir Tashem every Mondays following Rav Yaakov Sin's wonderful Shir Kali. So it's an avoda, both Shir Kali and also coming afterwards to Hilchos Shabbos Chag. I think that it's very valuable to come to Hilchos Shabbos Chag for many reasons. In general, my experience in yeshiva, I did not learn a tremendous amount of halacha b'chlal, and b'frat for sure not Hilchos Shabbos. It's a good opportunity to pick up on Hilchos Shabbos, and the chug slot of Hilchos Shabbos when I was here was certainly invaluable in terms of trying to build a repertoire when it comes to halacha lemaisa and something which comes up quite often, Hilchos Shabbos. Once every 7 days or something like that. Yes? Yes. Okay. Last year, we started with the Malachos of Shabbos, Sidur the Pas, and we got almost through all of them. We stopped in the beginning of Bishul. The plan for this year is to start with the Mitzvahs Aseh of Shabbos, okay? Such as, like you see, of course, in front of you, we're going to discuss today Hadlakas Neros. And then afterwards, we'll discuss other elements of Mitzvah Zasei Shabbos, Kiddush, Havdalah, Suda Shabbos, Shal Shudis, etc. All those very, very exciting and fun elements of Shabbos. And then afterwards, if we finish the Mitzvah Zasei of Shabbos, we'll try to move on to, maybe we'll do Bishul by itself, and then other types of Malachos we'll hopefully get around to. That's going to be the plan to merge them for this year. And let's get started, okay? Everybody has Makoros who needs? No? Are there more Makoros, or we finish them? Okay, if we could send them to those who don't have. The Makoros are, I find to be quite helpful and pretty much self-explanatory in terms of how they're organized and arranged, and it should be quite helpful going forward. So let's start from the beginning, okay? So, one of the first things in terms of the mitzvahs of Shabbos, kind of, I know, it's a big discussion. Is it an Erev Shabbos mitzvah or a Shabbos proper mitzvah? Is that of Hadlakas Neros? So let's start from the beginning. The Gemara, the Masechta Shabbos, and the Chafeim and Beis says as follows. Hadlakas Ner Shabbos Chova. Okay, pretty black and white. What does that mean? There's a mitzvah, a chov, an obligation to light Shabbos candles. So the question that we should be asking ourselves, right, because we're very thoughtful, yes? Yeshiva guys or something. Well, what is the nature of that obligation? Like, why is it a chovah? So Rashi thought about that as well, and he says on the spot of their chovah, kavod Shabbosu, because of kavod Shabbos, she'ein suda chashuva el b'makom or kein yamama. Why? Because there's no such thing as a chashuv suda unless you're eating the suda in a well-lit room. Kein yamama. This is like contrary to, I think, modern sensitivities of fanciness, yes? Whenever it's like a really fancy restaurant, the fancier it is, the darker it is for some reason. Yes? Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I've experienced this before. I don't know, maybe it's to hide the food. Like, I'm paying this much for this? I don't know. But whatever, Lamaisa, back in the day, they were more sensible, and they decided that if you have lights, that's a better way, and a more kavod to go away in order to enjoy your suda. That's exactly what Rashi says over there. The Rambam in a similar vein, but not exactly the same, in Hilchos Shabbos, Parakei Halacha Aleph says as follows. Let's read it together. Hadlakas ner b'Shabbos eino rishus im rata madlik im rata eino madlik. Okay, hadlakas ner is not a rishus. What does that mean? It's not voluntary, right? Whether you want to light, whether you don't want to light. For lo mitzvah sheinu chay v'lirdof acharea, and it's not a mitzvah which you don't have to run afterwards. Achi esenek kigon eruv chatziros and netilas yadayim achila elachova. Like netilas yadayim, do you have to wash netilas yadayim only if you want to eat
bread?
Right, unless you have like a fear of benching. Yes, benchophobia was very, very rampant back in the day. I don't know anymore, but it used to be. So you don't need to wash your hands. It's only if you want to eat bread you need to wash your hands. But Ner Shabbos is certainly different. Ner Shabbos needs to, one needs to run after that mitzvah in order to be mechayimit. Everybody's obligated in Ner Shabbos. This part's important. Hence the underline, yes? Onik Shabbos. Excellent. Thank you very much for nobody saying. Yes, Onik Shabbos. Yes, because of Onik Shabbos. Why is it important? Because of Onik Shabbos. Great. Okay, so we have two reasons thus far if you're keeping Tefillah Square at home. Math is simple at this point. One and two. Yes, we have. What are the reasons for Ner Shabbos? Kavod Shabbos, Raj. Then we have Onik Shabbos. Okay, now, if we wanted to get fancy, which we're not so fancy, we could spend a lot of time trying to determine what's the difference between Kavod and Onik. Anybody know the difference between Kavod and Onik? No? Might? Okay. What? Okay, Kavod and Onik Shabbos are both darshan from Pasuk and in Nach and Yeshaya. Okay, well, let's not get into exactly the where the makor comes from. Rav Salvechik has a beautiful one of his Yartzeit shirim. Yes, you know the shirim of Zechariah Avi Mori. So one of them he has on Kavod and Onik Shabbos. He really says that they're really mitzvahs really midoraisa. But like, let's leave that part of Shomer V'Zachor. We'll leave that aside for right now. Anybody? Yeah. Excellent, fantastic. Yes, Ria, we're going to say the same thing, me too. Yes, says Ben Lagon, he is of the fan or the opinion that the difference between Kavod and Oneg, the distinction is whether you're doing something in order to prepare for Shabbos or whether you're getting the enjoyment on Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos is what you do in order to prepare for Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos is the benefit and enjoyment you get on Shabbos, yes? Correct? Hence, like you go to a Oneg, you don't go to a Kavod. Yes? I think. Is that fair? Okay, good. Tish like totally did away with that, you know what I'm saying? Because he's like old enough to remember Onyx or something. Okay, so that is different. That's what the Gra says. Now, it doesn't really fit in so neatly with this Rashi, by the way. Right, what does Rashi say? This is a side point. Practice. If you get this, good. If not, it doesn't matter. Kavod Shabbosu, she'ein tzuda chashuva ela b'makom orkein yamama. What does that mean? The Kavod Shabbos is so you can enjoy it on Shabbos, right? That sounds like an Oneg type. You think, okay, we'll leave that aside for now. But Lamaisa right now in one category of Kavod and Oneg, meaning we want it to be special nice for Shabbos. Great. The Rambam, by the way, let's look at the next Rambam. The Rambam later on in Hilchos Shabbos says in Perek Lamed, also talking about Nero Shabbos, Misadir Adam Shulchanu be'erev Shabbos. Person needs to prepare for Erev Shabbos, set up their table, be alpa pishin l'tzarech al kazayis. And even though the minimal amount that you need to eat is only kazayis, still you got to make things nice. Chay Misadir Shulchanu b'motzei Shabbos. What is that referring to? Being Misadir your Shulchanu b'motzei Shabbos. Well, Malka, excellent, right? Be alpa pishin l'tzarech al kazayis. And even though you only need a kazayis, kidei l'chavdo b'chnisasu u'vitiyas. So in order to give a kavod when it is entering in and also when it is departing, when it's leaving, right? By the way, the Rambam uses a very similar lashon when it comes to what other? Kiddush and Avdala. Excellent. We'll talk about that in Mir Tashem when we finish that one. Okay. What is part of Kavod Shabbos here in the Rambam? What did he put throwing there? What did you say? What? Nero, yes. Excellent. Nero Shabbos. So the Rambam now we have two. We have Kavod and we also have Oneg, correct?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Side note, the Brisker Rav says that we see from this Rambam, it's not really a Sira, but rather there's two dinim in Hadlakas Neros. There's one din of Kavod and one din of Oneg, and that's how he fixed it in with the Gra. Doesn't really necessarily deal with the Rashi, but something to be aware of. Okay, so far we have Nero Shabbos coming for Kavod and for Oneg. However, this is not the sole reason given for the mitzvah of Nero Shabbos. Take a look in source number 5. The Gemara in Shabbos of Chav Gimel Amid Bey says as follows, Amar Rava, Pshitali. Ready? What do you guys think? Before we answer this question, what's more important, Ner Shabbos or Ner Chanukah? Ner Shabbos. Why? Okay, Mishum Shalom Beisom. Excellent. We know the Gemara. Ner Beisom, Ner Chanukah. Ner Beisom Adif, Mishum Shalom Beisom. Now, what exactly does that mean? Who wants to explain the Gemara? Why does Ner Shabbos have Shalom Bias? Not just because it's like nice, the whole family gets together. What?
You can't see anything.
Okay, well, let's take a situation. Ready? It's Friday of Shabbos Hanukkah.
So I could either buy candles, which are going to be designated just for Shabbos, or also designated for Hanukkah.
Which one should I buy? Ah, excellent, fantastic, right? Correct? Neros Hanukkah, you're not allowed to use Neros Hanukkah. Those are, they're usher. Now, why are they usher? Okay, is there hektish there? Mi'ila, there's actually like a machlokas in the Gemara, in the Rishonim, exactly how they're saying the isser of being benefiting from Neros Hanukkah, but Neros Shabbos clearly are there in order for our own benefit, as we pointed out. Says Rashi, in source number 6, Shalom Beso, V'achim Rina, L'kaman, V'zak Mishal Nafshi, V'zu Adlach Aser B'Shabbos, Shabbinei Beso, Mitzarin, Leisha B'choshech. Right? It's painful to sit in the dark. Nobody wants to eat a meal in the dark. It's not something which is exciting or pleasurable whatsoever. And therefore, the purpose for Havakas Neros is... Everybody? Exactly, because of Shalom Bayis. So therefore we have two or three reasons really as to why we light Shabbos candles. We have Kavod, we have Oneg, and we have Shalom Bayis. Excellent, fantastic. Now that we have different reasons, so what would be the next question we want to ask ourselves? Practically, right, exactly. What the nafkamin is between the two reasons, therefore halacha l'maaseh, maybe figure out how we paskin. So let's see. Take a look in the Mechaber. Source number 7, Siman Reish Samech Gimel Sif Dalet. What does Shulchan Aruch say? Lo yachtum lemaher lahadlik ba'od yom gadol. Okay, we can't light Shabbos candles too early on Friday. Shaz eno nikar shematlik l'chavet Shabbos. Therefore, it won't be clear that you're actually lighting for Kavod Shabbos. V'gam lo yachar. And you should also light it too late, because if you light on Shabbos, that would be bad. Yes? V'mrotu lahadlik nir ba'od yom gadol. L'kavo lov Shabbos miyad rishai. Kiva shemekavo lov Shabbos miyad ein duak dama. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch points out to us a person is going to be Mekabel Shabbos early on and light candles at the same time. That's going to be okay. Then it's clear that we make a designation that these candles are for Shabbos purposes. Ubilvad, Pagam Mincha Lamala, that relates to Pagam Mincha, Shusha Revi, Kodam Alayla. Good. Okay, this part's, I think, the part we want to get to, hence the underline. Yes. Okay. Vim Haya Haner Dolok, Miba'od Yom Gadol, and let's say the candle was already lit previously, what do you have to do? Yichabenu v'yachzir v'yatklenu l'tzaruch Shabbos. What must you do? Says the Ramah. Let's say I lit a candle early Shabbos morning, early Friday morning. That'd be Shabbos morning. That would be it. Early Friday morning, yes. And it's one of those very big, scented candles that some people have in their bathrooms that they never light, but it's just kind of there. You know what I'm saying? It's like a Yahrzeit candle, but red. No? And smells good. Okay, somebody decided to light one of them because they are candles, so whatever. So they're like, oh, come on, I don't have to light Shabbos candles anymore. I got this amazing scented red candle that nobody's ever lit before, and it's actually lighting. So, is that good enough? Says the Ramah. No, we got to put it out. Okay, question, what? What'd you say? Seemingly, even if it was lit for Shabbos, but let's say even if it wasn't lit for Shabbos. Now, why would this be the halacha? How is this an afkamina between the two reasons we had? Let's go back. What were the two reasons we gave? Or like three? I know we gave three, but let's go with two. Covered and Onik, one category. Shalom Bayis, the other category, right? Yes? Can we do this? Great. Okay, so if it's a function of Shalom Bayis, would I need to, right? Do I need to relight it? No, Lamais, at the end of the day, am I going to trip over the stuff in my house because I have the candle which is lit? The beautiful, red, fragrant, scented candle that's going to last forever? No, of course not. It'll be fine. So if I wouldn't need to relight it again. Therefore, it seems from the Ramah that what is he concerned with? Kavod and Oneg. Kavod and Oneg would mean that I need to designate this candle specifically for Shabbos purposes. It wouldn't be good enough to have the candle lit from early on Friday without the intention of Shabbos. Yeah.
He also says in the first line, the Kavod Shabbos.
Okay, great, excellent, fantastic. Okay, that's a good deal for Lechava Chavez. What's up?
They work with Narashi, so it's good.
Okay.
Now it's not in the Narashi, but then that's not a Chava Chavez.
Okay, I think it's a great ha'ara within Rashi himself. I totally hear that, meaning Rashi does not necessarily lead on to the fact that there needs to be a designation for the Kavod Shabbos. Rashi's Kavod Shabbos sounds a lot like our basic definition of Shalom Bayis. Okay, I hear that. We'll have to leave that for a different time to discuss, but I hear your point. I think it's an excellent point. Okay, great. What about source number 8? Okay, source number 8, what does it say? The Bi'ar Halacha. Who wrote the Bi'ar Halacha? What? Chavzai, who also wrote the Shartayon? Okay, great, exactly, yeah? Like the whole thing. Good. Excellent. Says the Bi'ar Halacha in source number 8, Kishayesh Leish Kama Chadarim Tzarech Lahadlik B'chol HaChadarim Yishom Shalom Bayis. Okay, that's pretty black and white. I don't need to ask you, what is that? Why do you have to line up the rooms? Okay, because of Shalom Bayis, right? Meaning if I have multiple rooms, which I'm going to use on Shabbos, so then I should have to have light in them in order to be Mekayim, the Shalom Bayis, which is an obligation. But if it's, you know what I'm saying? But if it's just a function of Kavod Shabbos, you'll see, according to the poskim, Kavod and Oneg seemingly are associated with, as Rashi points out, the meal, right? It's the meal where one needs to light, and therefore that's why the minhag in Kol Am Yisrael is to light your Shabbos candles where? In the dining room, right? Or at least, you know, the fachot, you should be able to see them. And therefore, it seems over here quite clearly, as the Bi'ar Halacha himself says, that it's the function of Shalom Bayis as well. Halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin? Both. We accept both opinions. Both of them are relevant factors when it comes to determining the obligation of Hadlakas Neiros. And I think it's encapsulated quite nicely in the Mishabura in the brackets. Let's read it quickly and I'll take your question. Isa Mishas says the Mishabura that one who lights Shabbos candles, the Zocha Avor Zel Lebanim Tamidei Chachamim, that you'll have Tamidei Chachamim if you light Shabbos candles, the Chziv Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or, right? What does that mean? Al Yedei Ner Mitzvah the Shabbos. That through lighting near mitzvah of Shabbos, ba or Torah, you'll also be zocha for the or of Torah. L'kach ra'yishet tisfalo isha achas shetigmar hadlacha. Right, therefore, there's a minhag for the woman to daven after she lights. Va'bracha sheitin la Hakadosh Baruch Hu banim zacharim meirim b'Torah, and therefore, that she have children who are going to be talmidei chachamim. Fadlachas ner tzarech lios b'chol chadarim, and the candles need to be in all the rooms. Shaholich sham b'Shabbos al kol panim near echad af sheinu ochel sham kidei shlo yichashal be'eitzo be'aven miol bracha tevarech al haner shem b'makom achila. Where do we make the bracha on the candle, which is where b'makom achila? But says the Mishabura, you also have to light in all the other rooms. Therefore, we see that both these approaches, such as Kavod and Oneg and Shalom Bayis, are relevant when it comes to determine where one is chayiv in Halakas Neiros, and we seem to accept both of these reasons. Halakha l'maisa. Good?
Great.
Question?
Yeah. Do we actually learn Pasim about lighting candles in different rooms? Because I've never seen anyone do that.
Great question. I mean, we kind of do, because why?
We have lights,
exactly. We have lights.
In our house?
Okay, so counting. Okay, so we're going to get into a lot larger discussion about. I'll do a quick aside of this, and we'll get into the halachic ramifications of this.
Actual ramifications.
Okay, yeah, so let's do it like this. Ready? When it comes to certain halachos, less mandapalik, it seems that most folks can agree that electric lights help when it comes to ideas of Shalom Bayis and other things. So therefore, the lights which one puts on, the electric lights that one uses in order to walk around their house, is certainly going to qualify for the Shalom Bayis elements, and therefore one need not light actual candles in the other areas of their house. Okay, good? And in addition, I even saw some posts come say that there's a halacha that you need to even be shoel, right, for Neiru Shabbos, and you need to go out of your way in order to ask for money to be light Shabbos candles, that if one has electric lights, one need not do that. They can be so make on the electrolytes. Now, what we're going to discuss quite, in a little bit, is whether one is obligated, whether one can actually fulfill the din from the Gemara of Shabbos candles with only electric lights. Can one fulfill Kavod and Oneg with electric lights? That's a larger machlokas poskim, which Amir Shem we're going to get to later on in the sheet. Good so far? Question?
The Gemara said that
near Beso with other near Hanukkah with Shal Bayis. Can you also say that there are bias near Beso applies to everyone who has words near Hanukkah?
Well, so actually, women are chayiv in Eretz Chanukah. So it's actually one of the few mitzvahs that they are chayiv in, like a man, ad kedei kach, that meaning they can fulfill it. They can fulfill a man's obligation when it comes to this. And there's a side discussion here to Shemakat the Chanukah. Maybe we'll discuss this in greater detail. The minhag in most, I imagine, people's houses. Any Sephardim here? Okay, so you don't light ever, right? I imagine your father does all the lighting. Okay, that's a minhag of the mechaber. And the Rama, but Ashkenazim, what do we do? Everybody lights. What about the women in the house? What about the mothers of the house? So the minhag seems to be based off the Mishnah Berurah that married women don't light, and the Mishnah Berurah explains because Isha Kigufo. Now that's like a really difficult explanation why women don't light. Why? What? Do we say Isha Kigufo when it comes to other mitzvos?
No.
No, we don't say Isha Kigufo is not a justification. Excellent. Who's your Bikis, Rebbe? Okay. Isha Kigufo is not a good halakhic justification in order to give somebody a pitor. Therefore, the minhag amongst, Rav Salvechik and his talmidim is that women do light Hanukkah candles, even married women light Hanukkah candles, because that is the ikur in the Gemara of Mahadran Hadran. We'll have to leave that aside for right now. Okay, great. Let's go back into source number 10. Right, everybody with me?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, Michai of Lahadlik. So who's obligated on Hadlak HaSeiros? So says the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, Echad HaNashim VeEchad HaNashim, meaning everybody is obligated in Hadlak HaSeiros, Chayavim Lios B'Bateim, Ner Dalek B'Shabbos. Everybody's obligated to have in their house a candle lit for Shabbos. Afilu Ein Lo Ma Yechal, even if they have nothing to eat. Show al apsachet belokeach shemen umadik esaner sezeh bechal oneg Shabbos. Right, this is the halacha I was referring to before, that you need to go out of your way in order to buy Shabbos candles, no matter what. Maybe it's not relevant nowadays when we have electricity, but lemais at the end of the day, who's chayiv? We're all chayiv in halacha zeros. It's a din on everybody. Yeah. Everybody's house has to have it. Now, this obviously leads to the following question. Who generally has the minhag of lighting Shabbos candles in one's house? The women of the house generally are the ones who light the Shabbos candles. So why is that the case? Okay, there are two answers given in the post. Let's see what they say. The first one is the Shulchan Aruch. I think he's quoting from the Rambam, if I'm not mistaken, as is his minhag. Okay, Hanashim Muzaros Bo Yoser. Why women are more obligated, so to speak, in Halakas Neros? Bibnei Shem Mitzuyas Bebayis Vaoskos with Sarchay Abayis. Because why? Generally, who are the homemakers? The women, right? So, this is their domain. They decide, I don't know, most things that have to do with the house, yes? I don't know, decorating things, food, coloring, I don't know, whatever, the color of things. I cook in my house, by the way, so there's that. It's not by choice. whatever, what? But anyways, so because women, generally speaking, are more achrai on the house, therefore, it is their obligation to make sure that the house is set up for Shabbos, more so than men. They have the schus to go and do that, and therefore it becomes their mitzvah. The tour, in a bit more Kabbalistic, maybe even a bit more offensive, I don't know, up to you, type of answer gives, quoted in source number 12, Anashim Uzaris Bo Yoser Kidisa Mimedrish, Mibnei Shekavsa Neiro Sho Olam. Perish Garma Mislada Marisha. What does that mean? Okay. Well, let's start from the beginning. Ready? Who caused death to come into the world? What? Chava caused death to come into the world. Why? Because she gave from Adam, they ate Adas, they told Lara, right? And Adam eats from it, and therefore, like it, from the Pesukim, it's pretty, you know, explicit that when you eat from there, then you'll die. Now, obviously, he doesn't die right away, and therefore, the Mefarshim explained that what it means to say is that death only comes into the world once you eat from the ate Adas, and told Lara. And therefore, so to speak, Chava, what did she do? She extinguished the light of the world, i.e. life, yes? So therefore, because she extinguished the light of the world, what does she have the zechus to do?
To light
exactly, to add more light into the world in order to do a tikkun for what Chava did many, many generations ago. That's the answer that the Torah gives. Two reasons given as to why women are obligated in a halakha seder. It's either because generally speaking, they're the homemakers, and therefore that's why the obligation is more on them, generally speaking, than on men. Or is it because the fact that Chava caused death to come into the world as a way to add light into the world, as we know, right? When you, if you're, we mentioned from the Mishaburah, quoting from the Achronim, when we light Shabbos candles, she's zochet to have banim, tami de chachamim, etc. And therefore, this is clearly adding light into this world. If that's the case, so therefore it's up to her to add that light, which she extinguished. What would be a nafkamina between these two reasons, obviously? If the man was the homemaker, right? Right, if the man was a stay-at-home father. Or if the man, so let's back up. The man's single, obviously they have to light. There's no question, because everybody's obligated equally. The only question is, who has the schus to perform the mitzvah? That's really the question. Who has the schus to perform the mitzvah? Women have the schus to perform the mitzvah, either because it's their domain, because it's their homemakers, or because, you know, because of Chava. So, if it's a question of who's the homemaker, so maybe, if there's a man who's more in charge of setting up the house, so if it would be his chus to go ahead and light the Chanukah candle, I mean the Shabbos candles, even though most, I've never seen a post that actually go that far, but this would be a theoretical nafkamina. Masha'enken, if you take the opinion of the Torah, then it would never come to be that the obligation should be on the man. One thing, Agav, and I'll take questions. This is a homework project, which I don't know the answer to. Those who are, yes, thank you. Those who are more Kabbalistically inclined than I am can, you know, maybe understand this. There are many halachos which are applicable to women that have to do with the original sin, the Yetzer Hara, the Achil over there, that sometimes women are more obligated in something, and sometimes we don't want them to be obligated in something. So, for example, ready? Over here, Halakas Neros. Women?
Yes,
right? Good, excellent, okay. Drinking from, doing Abdallah? No. Drinking from Abdallah wine. Why? Not because they're going to grow a beard. No. What? No, not that either. Okay, beard and mustache. No facial hair, okay? That's a wives' tale. The reason why women are not should not drink Abdallah wine is based from the Shlah, is because the Shlah says, what is Abdallah? What is Abdallah? What is he doing? We're separating. You're making something clear that was complex. Okay? What did women do when they ate from the Eitzadas and Tavaras? He says they caused Bilbul, confusion in the world. So they shouldn't partake in something which is there in order to make things clear, to separate, to explain. So here's homework assignment. When does Kabbalah / whatever, halacha, say that women should do something because of the Etadas and Telvera? And when are they not allowed to do something because of the Etadas and Telvera? Yes? Fair question? This also comes up, Aga, when it comes to Kiddush Levana. Okay? Are women obligated to Kiddush Levana? Medina Gemara, it seems like they should do Kiddush Levana. That's what it says in Sanhedrin. Anybody want to know what daf in Sanhedrin? Membez. Why? So I had a Talmud who was here. I forgot who told me this, but 2 or 3 years ago when we learned this. Why Sanhedrin Membez? Why is Kiddush Levana Sanhedrin Membez is awesome? Moon Bracha. Is it you?
No, it was not me.
Moon Bracha. Isn't that awesome? Okay, now you'll never forget it. The bracha on the moon bracha, Sanhedrin, Membez, that's where Kiddush Levana is located. Lemaisa, Shlah also says something about women not partaking in Kiddush Levana as well. Okay, we'll leave that aside for now. That's good homework to go going forward. So, yes, questions up.
You said that Nafkamina would be like a man that's like trouble in the house. maybe we could say it, even though, like in this specific case, the man's been charged generally.
In a haram, yes, correct. It could be we make a low plug, generally speaking, that's a woman's domain, and therefore, even if there's an exception, that doesn't mean we change halacha. I'm asking 1,000%. Yes. I mean, that seems to be what all the poskim say. But theoretically speaking, if we could bend, if it wasn't so rigid in terms of the general categories of men versus women, so then maybe that would be an afkamim that could come to fruition, halacha l'maisa. But you're right. What's up?
Just to clarify, you said by women should make a melody.
I never said that. Sorry, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Women should make a melody because by the
okay, no, so let me say this again before anybody gets any confusion. We will talk about women in Abdallah. There's a big discussion about whether women should or should not say Abdallah. Maisa, women do say Abdallah. The question is, like, should they say it by themselves? Can they say it by themselves? If there's a Ramah, we'll have to discuss that at a different time. As far as I'm aware, none of you are women here, and therefore this is not a halakha maisa question as of right now. We'll discuss it when we get there, when you have, you know, when you all get married and you have you know, wives who you're not there, you can't make Abdallah for them, whatever. You'll know the halacha when we get there. Yes.
Every
room which you're going to use should have a light. Not when you're sleeping, you don't want a light there. So therefore, you shouldn't have a light. That is not kavod shabbos. Not being able to sleep with the light on, certainly not. It's not even shalom bias. Yes, in a public so like meaning that's a good question. We'll get to that in a moment. But seemingly in the hallway, let's say, you should have a light on. The bathroom should have a light on. Okay, we'll discuss what's enough. What's not enough? We'll have to get to that. Yes. What? No, so once again, just to be 1,000% clear, everybody's chayv in halakas neiros. The only question is, why do women have this discuss that, like, the mitzvah is generally given to them? That if it's between a man and a woman, now some of the poskim say that if a man says that he really wants to do halakas neiros because it's a tremendous mitzvah, we'll see that when you light Shabbos candles, especially if you use olive oil, there's a medrash, we'll discuss in a moment, you might be like the Kohen Gadol in Beis HaMikdash lighting the menorah, it's a tremendous chas. So even if a man wants to partake in the mitzvah and the woman wants to, the halacha is that the woman has kedima, she has precedent over the man. So that, but everybody is certainly obligated on the same level. Yes? Okay, we're going to get to there. That's further down on the sheet. We're going to get there. Okay, good so far. Awesome. So, okay, what are we up to? Okay, so we just established that generally speaking, it's a woman's oriented mitzvah. But what about Chiyuv Shel Hanashim? Let's say, you know, Mirat Hashem, when you're married and you want to partake in this mitzvah, what should you do? Okay, so there's two different situations. One of them we possibly like, one of them we don't. Definitely get to you in 1 minute. Source number 13 is Hanashim Muzaris Vafilu Im Yirtza Habal Hadlik Ba'atzmo. This is what I just mentioned to you before. Let's say the man says, you know what, I want this mitzvah. Hayisha Kodemes, the woman goes first. But if you live in a big mansion and you have to light a lot of candles and the woman can't get through it all at once, so then the man would have the schus to do that as well. Okay, this is a big discussion in the poskim that there are some who are of the opinion that when a woman gives birth, what does she have? What is she? What's her status? Halachically speaking?
Sure.
Exactly. She's Tameh, right? She's it's called Tumas Yoledes, right? Parshas Tazria, right? Difference between giving birth to a boy versus a girl, and then there's also the Meitara, which follow, right? Okay, we don't have to discuss this right now. But because of that Tumas, some of the posts can assume she shouldn't light Shabbos candles at first Shabbos. We don't generally pass them this way. It seems to be that many posts can assume that women, even the first week in which after they've given birth, they could certainly go ahead and light Shabbos candles. That seems to be a halacha l'maisa. Source number 14, the Mishnah Berurah. This is something which we should possibly like. Right, the Mishnah Berurah quoting from the Torah. What chelik can men have every single Shabbos? Setting out the Shabbos candles. This is the chesed which I have in my house. I try very hard to fill up the I don't know what these things are called, but the things which need to be filled with oil in order that the things can be what? and you have your like whatever tea lights. L'maisa, however you're going to be lighting your Shabbos candles, the chelik of the men in the mitzvah would be lefachot to set up the candles so that they're lit, and it's you know, it's a beautiful opportunity to perform a very very chashuv mitzvah. Great. Okay. Okay, now this brings us to a very, very important discussion. Ready? We just mentioned... Yes, I'm sorry, David, I apologize. How could I forget? Yes.
According to the Torah, so in this stuff, when we light in this stuff, it should be more of a man's obligation, because it says it's more of a way to be, like, the woman's head. That's it.
Oh, fascinating. Okay, so if this is like really like, the answer is no, but I hear what you're saying. Like the house of the sukkah, if you're gonna like shop, you got to for Shabbos candles inside the sukkah.
Not the sukkah, so it's like the man's really the man.
Right, I understand, but lemaisa, at the end of the day, the mitzvah of Hadlak HaZeros still is mutal on the woman to go ahead and perform it, whether she's obligated technically in the mitzvah of sukkah or not. One does not have to do with the other, correct? One is a question of who's obligated in the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah, the other one is who's obligated in Hadlak HaZeros. What? Right, I know, I understand, but like that doesn't mean that it's not a house that needs Shabbos candles, right? Meaning one does not necessarily have to do with the other, correct? Okay, I mean, we know this to be true last year, Misach HaSukkah, right? Migo, right? Yeah, Migo for Shabbos to Sukkah, meaning that we even, Shabbos has the ability to impact Sukkah, okay? Those of you that know what I'm talking about, good. If not, it doesn't really matter. The mice at the end of the day, no, the woman still be obligated in that situation. I don't know. Okay, awesome. Now this brings us to a very important discussion. What makom is the Iker makom Hadlakas Neiros? What are our options? What? What did you say? Christmas. Okay, fine. Well, what are our options? Where would be the Iker place to light candles? What? What? Okay, where you eat, good. And what would be the other place? Where you sleep, right? Where you live. Fantastic. So let's say that there could be different indications that could have a lot of nafkminas for us in yeshiva. Source number 15. Let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says. Okay. Bachram ha'ochem. Lilmot chutz l'biteyam. Sound familiar? Yes? Yes, you. Okay? Well, not really you. We'll see. Boys, you go out to chutz l'beteim, shrichem l'hatik near Shabbos, v'chadarim, in their rooms, u'levarech alayem. And also, make a brach on them. Avami shehu eitzel yishvel. However, one who is with their wife, ein tzarech l'hatik b'chadra u'levarech alav. They are not obligated in lighting in their room and making the brach on it. Why? Because the woman is going to fulfill that obligation and make the bracha on his behalf. Okay, so what are we talking about? What are these? Who are these bachrim? Point out the Mishnah Berurah. This is going to sound very, very familiar. Okay, source number 16, b'chadarim. Afilu hacheder miyuchad rak. Lalun sham v'ochlin b'bayis acher. Mir Chazem, I give you all a bracha that you will be able to have many, many meals outside of your house. Like at like your no families or something like that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That chas sham chadrochels. Whatever. You know. Whatever. So if that's going to be the case, you're going to be sleeping in one area and then you're going to be eating somewhere else. Okay. Where's? Are you obligated in Shabbos candles? What? Lechora? Yes, right? Because it says that Bachrim, who are going to eat in one place and are living somewhere else, the place where they're living is still obligated in Shabbos candles. Even if you're going to be eating somewhere else. So what does it sound from here, from this Mishnah Berurah? What is Nechshav, the Iker Makom Hadlaka? Where you sleep, right? More than when you eat. Okay, good. Source number 17 says a little bit differently. What does it say in source number 17? The Ramah. Hagav Iker Adlaka Tluya B'Neiro Shemadlikin Al Hashulchan Avalo B'Shar Neiro Shebebayis. What does that sound like? What's the Iker Makom Adlaka? The Makom Achila. Right? Dafka, where you're going to be eating, is the Iker Makom Hadlaka, and therefore that's where you make the bracha. So, what do you do if we're split? If you're in one place where you're sleeping you're sleeping in one area and then you're going to eat somewhere else, must you light Shabbos candles in the place where you're sleeping? So I see that there's a bit of a machlokes haposkim. I saw in the sefer, it's called the Radiance of Shabbos, or Simcha Batam Kohn. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's a beautiful five-set sefer on Hilchos Shabbos in English. What? Six? Okay, six set. I'll take that. Okay, on Hilchos Shabbos. In there, if I'm not mistaken, I believe he was of the opinion that the Iker Halakha is in the place in which you are eating, based off this aroma. Okay? However, the Dati, and especially based on this Mishnah Berurah is quite explicit. This is not saying that that is more important if it's an either-or discussion. Rather, what is the Ramah telling me? The Ramah is only telling me that if I'm lighting multiple candles, what does he want to know? Which one? Where do I make? Where do I make the bracha? Oh, where do I make the bracha? It's better to make the bracha on the candles whereby I'm eating. But that doesn't necessarily tell me that that is the more important place for Hadlakas Neiros. And that's clear in the Mishnah Berurah. At the bottom, source 17, let's read it together. I guess I forgot a number there. We'll leave it at that. That's only referring to the Baal HaBayis, who has the ability to make a bracha where he's eating and also where he's sleeping. This part's important, I think, because of the underline. But with a guest. If he has his own designated room, even if he's not eating there, what should he do? Light a candle, make a bracha there. Therefore, what? Let's sum this up. Halacha l'maisa, it seems as if the ikker makom halacha is where you are sleeping, more so than when you're eating. When do we consider the eating to be primary? That's only in terms of where you should make the bracha, but in terms of what is required of you when it comes to halakas neiros, it is quite clear that where you are living is just as important, if not more important, than where are you sleeping. So where does it come up, halakha l'maisa? Then we'll take all the questions afterwards, just very quickly. Number one, here in yeshiva, you're sleeping in the dorms, and you're going to eat somewhere out in Shlav Aleph. So, or Shlav Bet, or the kibbutz, whatever, or the chadar, good. Do you need to light candles in your dorm? If you would be allowed to light candles in your dorm, I don't know what the policy is, but leave that aside for right now. So what would the answer be? Yes, you would have to do some form of hadlakas neiros in the house. It wouldn't be good enough just to rely on the place where you're eating for your hadlakas neiros. You should do it even in the place where you are sleeping. Or, this happens often, I'm sure, in people's houses where they're eating out Friday night by somebody else, right? This is really halakha l'maisa. As you're eating out somewhere Friday night, you're going to a bar mitzvah in the shul, or you get invited out. Where should the woman light candles? In shul or in the house? Based on what we just said?
House.
In the house, right? The house is the Iker Makom Hadlaka. Right? The house is the Iker Makom Hadlaka. Okay, great. Now, I'm going to take all the questions in 1 minute. There are certain concerns, obviously, when it comes to safety concerns. People don't want to leave candles by themselves in the house as it is. Or let's say the candles might go out by the time you get home and you get into a bracha l'matala issue. There are other concerns, but all things being equal, certainly, even if a person is going to be sleeping in one area and they're going to be eating somewhere else, the place where they're sleeping requires hadlakas neiros, and that's even where you would make a bracha in that circumstance and situation. Okay? Now, I guess I'll take all the questions. Just last thing, there are some poskim, just to be aware of, there are poskim certainly who say that one can be somech on the halakha done b'makom achila, even if you're not sleeping there, which is the minog of a lot of people, that if they're eating out the bar mitzvah or whatever, that they are going to light in the makom where they're eating. That there's some poskim who say that should be good enough, even though it seems not to be the most preferable halakhic decision. And In addition, the same thing when it comes to yeshiva / seminary students who are going, you know, from one place to another, you know, single people who are eating, sleeping in one place, eating somewhere else, that some posts can also say you could be somech on the candles and where you are going to be hosted for that meal. Okay, now I'm thinking all the questions. Yes?
Now, if you're like in the dorms, use the light to be high in that aspect of it. So, should you not make a bracha because you can rely on the candles and the makamakiva?
So let's leave aside whether you can make a bracha on electric lights. We'll get to that in a moment. But meaning technically speaking, if a person has, let's say a person can light tea lights in the dorms, let's say, so then certainly you should make a bracha on that. If you would be allowed to do that. Yes? Right, so then you shouldn't do it. No, for sure not. No. Okay. Yes.
According to the Pshat, it doesn't make sense to really light candles in the room, especially because we have Shalva Eyes and Covenant Shabbos. Right? Because you, especially if you want to light candles, you put them in a place where it's more sorry, right? So maybe according to Pshat, that's fine. For Shalva Eyes, for sure, but by Tila.
Which
is place more sorry.
Well, I don't know. You guys have very fancy rooms, okay? And if I'm not mistaken, you have a communal area.
You need candlelight for sure.
Well, I know. I get. Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, do you need candles in the bathroom more or less than when you're eating? Or let's say in that communal area, let's say, you know, guys are, you know, hanging out after the meal, like, right, isn't there a communal, like, in the suite, right, there's, like, a kitchen, bathroom area type of thing, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, in that area.
But it doesn't take the form of that, like, you need a chill suite, that's a couple shots, so you need
I guess so. So that's why, if all things being equal in terms of the bracha goes on where you're eating. But if you're not eating there, or somebody else is making the bracha on those candles where you're eating, so then you'd be obligated certainly to make a bracha on those candles that would be in that communal, chill, living room style, whatever we want to call it, of the dorm. Yes?
Or is it just a safety reason why we don't?
Okay, so I don't know what the policy of the yeshiva is. And
let's say we say it's okay.
So, meaning, if they say it's okay, and it's in an area which people are going to be using it, and you actually will get benefit from there. So there's a lot of factors that we need to...
I need to put a suggestion for the light.
Someone
might
Okay, so let's leave that aside. We'll get to the practical dorm questions in a moment. I think we need a little bit more information when it comes to the electric lights. What are the status of electric lights, and how does that factor in with you know, non-electric lights, bizman hazeh, lighting them in general? But any other questions before we go on? No? Yes. It's a great question. I think it's a din in the poskim, if I'm not mistaken. But I think in this context, the way that we understand it is that you guys are together in the house, even if you have. What?
What makes sense is the first half of the line. The first half of the line is talking about when you're not in your house. That's just eight of each show. Like, seemingly, it would also be a case where you're not in the house. And she's just having
you in mind. We'll have to look in the Mishabura on that section later on, because the Mishabura has an Arichas, which I didn't put on the page. So you'll see that he makes it clear in that section of the Mishabura. I didn't put it on the page. We'll have to see. He's in Mefarish.
You can rely on someone, like, not in our area having us in mind. Maybe, like, let's say someone, like, likes to do it forever. Like, I'm not going to the area. Like, we each have our own streets, per se. Like,
meaning it seems as if each area of the dorms is considered separate. Let's say it like this. Before we get into whether one can make a bracha on the electric lights or not, certainly whatever light you have on in your communal area / in the bathroom would qualify for your Shabbos candles. Okay? When it comes to at least the obligation, the strict obligation. So one should be careful to do that and understand that they're performing a mitzvah when they turn on the bathroom light or the light in that communal area. Whether you should actually light real lights there, that's going to be a discussion that we'll get to in Mirta Shem in a little bit. Okay. Great. Let's see.
3 minutes left. Oh, this
7:27.
35 minutes. Great. Okay. This is it. Okay, fine. So the next topic is talking about when there's a lot of light, like. You know, if Shabbos candles are there in order to provide light for us, let's say you're in camp, or you're at bar mitzvah, you're in a hotel, and everybody's lighting, you know, on that big table where there's like a ton of lights, like your small little tea lights is not really adding anything. Is that really called Shabbos candles? So it's machlokes between Sfardim and Ashkenazim when it comes to that halacha in particular, which we'll have to discuss Mirat Hashem when we come back, and then we'll get back to the real fundamental halacha question about where should one light when they're in a hotel. Which is a big, big, tricky discussion. Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful week.